though I probably will start with Romans, which we had on the screen earlier, and it's also on the top of your bulletin, is it not? We'll probably start there also. But we'll be making our way very quickly to Philippians chapter 3 and then other verses. Again, let's have a word of prayer and get started here this morning. Father, we pray that you might be with us as we start a series. And Lord, again, we're not going to answer all questions that everybody has. We're not going to settle all the issue and arguments that people have had through the ages. But Lord, I believe that we can look at the Bible and Lord, we can find some answers for ourselves in there. And Lord, how we need to live our lives. Lord, I ask that you would help and undertake as I preach your word, that you would send the message and send it into people's hearts way better than I ever could, or I can't do that at all. But Lord, that you would just undertake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I want to preach on Christian liberty. As I said, it's at least five parts long right now. I don't know that it'll go any longer than that, even though the study continues. But what I try to do is I try to make things as easy for myself as I can to understand complex issues. Does that make sense? There are complex issues, and I try to make it easy for myself. And sometimes I compartmentalize things or generalize things, and you can't always do that to perfection. Okay? And you may make a generalization that doesn't cover everybody in every situation, or you may compartmentalize something and it's not perfectly where the lines are drawn. But you do I do the best I can to help me understand, and in helping me understand, it's trying to help you understand. Does that make sense? And again, this idea of Christian liberty is a huge subject. It's been argued, debated, fought down through the years, okay? I mean, it even breaks into a war among Christians. And I want to look at it in an idea how we can find out and stand where the Bible stands and yet project a Christian testimony why we're doing it. I think that's really most important is what it is. What I'm going to do, and as I go through the five sermons, these are the five things I want to lay out in front of you. I want to give you, basically, as I said, compartmentalize and generalize. That's kind of what I want to do just to start things off. I want to give you five different stands that people take when it comes to Christian liberty. Or, if I put it this way, just five different things that people do when it comes to Christian liberty or living the Christian life. And again, identifying where they are, what the Bible says, and then where we stand or where we should stand. Again, maybe we have to change where we've stood after we'd study this. Or maybe we can say, well, I think I'm doing it okay according to the Bible. But I want to give you five different stands. Now, I'm going to stand here at the pulpit for the first one and say, basically, this is where we want to be. Okay, we want to stand in the middle. Now, I'm not talking about compromise. Oh, Pastor, you know, in the middle is always compromise. I understand that. But again, I do also say that the Bible says something like this, you know, don't turn to the right hand or to the left hand. Have you heard that? Which means the Bible wants us where then? In the middle. Okay? And I really believe for this discussion, for these arguments that people present, for the whole study, God wants us in the middle on these things. I mean, reaching a place of moderation, reaching a place that I think stands where the Bible does, where Jesus does. Okay? Stands in the middle, which means then from there, we've got two groups on either side. Okay? If we're standing in the middle where we want to be, we've got two groups on either side. Now, I'm going to go all the way over to your right, okay? And this would be the first group. And as we conclude today, this is the group I want to talk about, but I want to give you all five to start with. This group over here, I'm going to give you names. If you don't like the names I give you, I'm sorry. Okay? I'm going to try to give you definitions along the way and do the best I can. Okay? This group over here is what I'm going to call the true sense, the true meaning of the word a legalist. Okay? True meaning of a legalist. The other word I would give you is a sacramentalist. Oh, that's a big one. It's a sacramentalist. That's what I want to talk about today as we go to the Bible. It's the true sense of the word legalist, okay? And what I mean by that, I've had people look at me and go, you know, you're a legalist. And you know what my answer is? No, I'm not. If you understand what the word legalist really means. And the word legalist is thrown around a lot, is it not? I always try to stay with the true sense of what it really means, or the word sacramentalist. This is a person, okay? Okay? No, I'm not going to start. I'm not teaching this today. I'm teaching over there today. But this is a person who believes you put your faith in Christ, but it takes more than that to get to heaven. It's faith plus, what's the next word I'm going to say? works. Faith plus works. Another term that the Bible may use and you've heard thrown around is Judaizers. Have you heard that? Okay? And in the Bible in Paul's day, that was a term that was used. So it's the true sense of what a legalist is. So if somebody looks at me and says, Pastor, you're a legalist, what's my answer? No, I'm not. I preach that salvation is by grace alone, by faith alone, and Jesus alone, no works. Okay? So if somebody would call me a legalist, I will defend it and say, you're not on the right sense of the word. But you do see that we've stretched the word to mean what? A whole lot of other things. Okay? So if you want to use Judaizers, sacrament, you heard me say sacramentalists. It's people that believe, again, that you believe in Jesus, but then there's works you have to do. The reason why I use the word sacramentalist, and if you Google it, and it's not even a word, I'm sorry, but we know what it means. Again, Catholics are sacramentalists. Are there not seven sacraments? Now, you cannot participate in all seven of them in your lifetime, but you participate as many of them as you can, as often as you can, and hopefully as you keep the sacraments, plus I believe in Jesus, I hope I'll get where? To heaven. But if I don't keep the sacraments good enough, if I don't do them often enough, I can't make it to heaven. Okay? Well, they've given you another place you can go until you work it out then. What is that? Purgatory. But they are true sacramentalists, true faith plus works. Okay? And you can see here that when it comes to Christian liberty, they are saying there's a whole lot of other standards, things, ordinances, and I'm going to use the word sacraments as the best word, that you have to do, and if you don't do them, you can't go to heaven. Okay? You can't go to heaven. It's not just Catholics, it's other people too. Okay? I get nervous about people that believe that you can lose your salvation. Because what do you have to do to keep it? You got to do good works. Faith plus works. If you don't do the works, then we take it away from you, okay? That kind of scares me, because I've asked people I've talked to a lot that believe they can lose your salvation. Well, what do I have to do not to lose it? I don't ask what I have to do to lose it. I ask, what do I have to do not to use it? Well, you're going to have to go to church. You're going to have to, boy, you're giving me faith and what? Works. Okay? So, legalists, true sense of the word, please. And I'm going to always try to use that true sense of the word. Because I don't like to use the word, if somebody has standards stricter than mine, I don't like calling that person a legalist. Because they don't believe that's what gets them to heaven. They don't, right? Am I right about that? They don't believe that. So they're not really a legalist. A legalist is a sacramentalist, a Judaizer, and all that, okay? Now I'm going to go all the way to the other side, over to the piano over here, putting it on your left. This is what I want to talk about today then, okay? This is the group over here, and again, I'll give you what the Bible calls them in just a second, but this is the group that believes once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, okay, and because grace is so big, it doesn't matter what you do in life. You can do what you want, and grace covers it. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And this is the group that believes, you know what? It doesn't matter what you do. It's all okay because Jesus paid it all. Okay? My past sins, my present sins, and my what? Future sins. So it's okay, whatever I do. All right? Now, as I was studying, what's the Bible call these people? You're not going to like this term if you think you're in this group. It calls them dogs and pigs. Dogs and pigs. That's what it calls them. Wow. Okay? Now, I hope you're not in that group because you're going to come up to me because you called me a dog. Okay? No, I'm telling you what the Bible calls them. I really don't have other words for them. Okay? We might use the word license. Now that I'm saved, I have the license to do, but I don't know that that's the proper word. But that's what I said. When you make generalities and statements and definitions, it doesn't cover everything and do it perfect. Is everybody with me on that? So if I say something and that's not quite right, please don't beat me up, okay? You know, don't come and lash at me and say, well, Pastor, I didn't like that term. Maybe I didn't either, okay? But it's trying to get the idea across. But once you're saved, since your sins are covered, really doesn't matter what you do in life, okay? Go and live it up. Because Jesus paid it all, and even if I sin and do whatever I do, it's all okay. You got that group there? Okay, let me move next door here to this group here. This would be a group that might say the word license is a little bit better, okay? They would also use the word liberty, okay? And now, they're not into sin as in, hey, the Bible says I don't commit adultery, but who cares? I'll do it anyway. It's paid for under the blood. That's where these people would be. These people would say, hey, the Bible definitely has a moral law, okay? And I'm going to stick to the moral law, and I'm not going to do those terrible things. But you know what? There are some things that I have liberty to do, okay? Now watch this group here, because I'm kind of differentiating between that group and we're in the middle. And you know what? I don't care about anybody else. I'll do what I want. Now, they're not in the sin group. Are you following me through? But they are in a group here that, you know what, I'll make up things and I live my own life and I'm not worried about other people at all. Okay? So license could be here. I have the license in Christ to do what I want. Not to sin, but other things. Okay? And I have the liberty, the freedom to do what I want. Okay? And it doesn't matter about other people. Now, here's the difference, okay? In the middle here, these people would also maybe use the word what? Liberty and license. But they would say, you know what? I have liberty to do things in Christ, but there are certain things I may be allowed to do, but I'm not going to do them. Because in doing them, I could set an example for others that could hurt them. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so again, I'm trying to get the walls here. These people, it doesn't matter if it's sin or what it is, I'm going to do it. Okay, these people, hey, I'm not doing sin, but I've got liberty in Christ to do what I want to do, and who cares about anybody else? Okay, these people, okay, and this is where I think we want to be, I have liberty in Christ, and I have grace, and there are things that I can do, but I am going to use some discretion before I do them. Does that make sense to people? Okay, I am, all right? Is this the liberty crowd? You know, we'd like to say this is where we all are, so we'll give them the best. You know, these are the people who follow Jesus. You know, don't we always give ourselves, you know? And I like that over in Corinthians where somebody says, well, I am of Paul. Well, I am of Apollos. What was the third group? Well, I'm of Christ. Oh, well, you guys, you know, that's just like the spiritual group, is it not? If we can tie Christ to it. But again, I have liberty. Again, what's the verse I'm going to give when I get here? All things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. Have you ever heard that verse in the Bible? All things are lawful. All things aren't expedient. Just because I might have liberty in Christ to do them doesn't mean I'm going to do them. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay? So again, you're saying, what's this group here? Well, the Bible calls these people the Pharisees. You might call them religionists. That's not a term, really. When Jesus talked to the Pharisees, what's the word he usually said right after he said the word Pharisee? Hypocrites. Okay? These are the people that basically, you know what, we don't believe that you have to do these things to get saved, but if you're going to be spiritual, you have to do certain things. And if you do them, you're spiritual. If you don't do them, you're not spiritual. Okay, and it's more the Pharisee age group here or whatever. It's more of those things. And again, as we go through in different sermons, we'll define them. But again, the Pharisees, when you watch them, they were good people. They did make clean the outside of the cup. Am I right about that? Is that what Jesus said? And there were certain things that he said to the Pharisees, you are right about. You do tithe, and you do a very good job at tithing. And that's good that you do. So he didn't say all bad things against them. Okay, but he did say, you know, you guys look good, but you know what? You think those things that you do outwardly make you spiritual. And remember what he said, you've cleaned the outside of the cup, but what's on the inside? Not too good. It's really dirty on the inside. And again, these people will judge others in saying, if you do these things, spiritual. If you don't do them, unspiritual. Now, I want to do this if I can, okay? This is kind of, and I can't do it. But here's the group, okay, that I called the sacramentalists, the legalists. Folks, there is like a huge black line here, a big wall. Can I do that? And down here, we have what I called, the dogs and the pigs? I'm sorry, okay? And there's another huge wall right here. Okay? Then in between those two walls, again, we do have, again, the people that believe in liberty or license or how they want to do it. Hey, it's all lawful for me to do. You have those who say, yeah, I've got a lot of freedom in Christ, but I've got to use that discerningly. And then you have those here who say, hey, there are certain things in your life that have to show up if you're spiritual and you've got to do these good things. Now, watch this. Okay, it's usually true that this group down here with this group way over here, they do not go to the same church. Are you following me through? Now, maybe I'm wrong, okay? You know, they're kind of to themselves over here. And those people down there are over here. But between those two walls, you can have these three groups right here. And guess what? They could be sitting in the same church. They could be sitting in the same church. And maybe why I'm saying I'm going to preach this is if maybe we're in the same church. But what I'm going to say, if you're in this group here, you're going to say, Pastor, I'm really here. And if you're in this group here, then what are we going to say? I'm really in this group here. But sometimes we might see three groups, you know, fellowshipping, being around each other. But sometimes it gets a little touchy, doesn't it? It does. Okay, I'm going to tell you it does. It gets a little touchy, those three groups. But again, I want to, basically, five sermons, five groups is how I kind of want to do it, okay? Now, I like for all of us to be here, but who knows? I even examine myself, okay? Because I'd like to be here, but sometimes even as I examine myself, I might be leaning a little bit this way. Am I right about that? Okay, you know, come on. It's lawful for me to do, folks. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And somebody might say, well, Pastor, I don't think you should do that. I'm going to do it. Does that make sense to you? Okay? But sometimes I may, in my own present evaluation, be what? Kind of lean in here, saying what? Come on, folks. If you guys don't do this stuff, you just can't be right with God. Have you ever been that way? Okay? Or how in the world can you do that and be right with God? So sometimes you lean this way if you're in the middle. Sometimes you lean this way. It's tough. Okay, and I'm probably confusing all of you, but maybe some of you are saying, well, Pastor, I understand what you're saying. Because sometimes we're tough on this, and sometimes we're more lenient with this. Am I right about that? And, again, but watch this. This crowd does get called legalists. Okay, because if you're here, or you're here, when you talk about this crowd here, sometimes you call them what? And what did I say a legalist really, really is? What they do, they don't believe makes them saved. They don't believe that. They're not adding works to salvation. They're saved people. They're believing in Jesus Christ alone, by faith alone and grace alone. But we call them legalists, but they're really not. Those are people over here that believe you have to add that to salvation, okay? So you understand. But here's how it works now. And this is what you got to watch out. Okay, when you're in this group, or you're in this group, or you're in this group, okay, sometimes what we do is we come up bad names for the other groups to make them look bad. Oh, don't worry about them. He's just a legalist. Okay? Or don't worry about that guy. He's like licensed, man. He believes anything is true. You can do anything you want. He doesn't know where to stop, you know. And we try to throw things on each other. I want to look at this group down here, though. Again, as I call them, there's a big wall here. I just walked through it or whatever. This is a group that believes, you know, grace is huge, grace is big, and it doesn't matter what I do, past, present, future sins under the blood, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? Yeah! Because the more I sin, the more God's grace is abundant in my life. That's kind of how they look at it, okay? You know? And so when they get to heaven, you know, they say, oh, after the way I live my life, oh, the grace of God is big, and I proved it because I lived a really rotten life, okay? And did things. And so they would answer, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? When Paul answered the question, God forbid, they're saying, so what's wrong with that? So let's go ahead and sin. Okay? Grace covers it. We're good. Now, again, when people don't like a big grace theology, what's the biggest argument they give? You know, when I tell people, hey, it's all about grace. It's all about grace. And they go, yeah, you people that believe in grace, you know, you believe you can just go out and live like you want and God just covers it. Well, I believe in grace, but I don't believe that. Is anybody with me on that? I just don't believe, you know. And by the way, I do find in the Bible where God said Christians died because they were living wrong life? They weren't doing things right? I mean, we always read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in communion, do we not? Do you realize that some Christians were misusing communion and God said some of them have fallen asleep? Does anybody know what that means? You were causing such a bad testimony in the church, I decided it was better to get you out of there. So I just took them home. Okay? So I'm not believing that God's wideness and His grace just covers anything you want to do. I think He can say, you know what? That's too much. It's time. And by the way, doesn't John talk about in John chapter 5, 1 John 5, there is a sin unto, what's the next word? Death. There is a sin unto death. So again, I want to talk about the group down here, again, what they are. With that in mind, I want you to go with me to Philippians chapter 3. I think I told you to open up there. Okay. Look at verse 2. I did not have Aaron read verse 2. But after what Ted Clater did to Jason last week, maybe I should start doing that kind of stuff, right? Multiple references and readings and all that. But I try to just keep it in one passage. But what's it say there in Philippians 3:2? Beware of, what's the next one? Dogs. Okay? Beware of dogs. Now, let me just tell you something. When I was getting ready to go to Panama the first time, I went to an infectious doctor, disease doctor, to find out what shots I needed to go to Panama. And, you know, he was looking things up and he said, why, you know, there's some herpes stuff and other stuff. He started rattling off stuff, you know, and, you know, hepatitis and all this stuff, you know. And then he said, you might want to get some rabies shots. And I goes, what? You might want to get rabies shots in case they got dogs down there, you know, that haven't been inoculated for rabies and one of them happens to bite you. You know how many people have lived from rabies? None. Okay. Nobody lives from rabies. If you get rabies, you die. Now, we can stop it with the proper shots once you got bit, can we not? But once it sets in, you're done. Did you know that? And I was like, you know what? I live around dogs all the place around here. I've never seen a need, you know. I went down to Panama. Guess what they have running everywhere? Dogs. Everywhere. And I said to somebody, I'm just going to tell you what my doctor said. These dogs may have rabies. We don't know anything about them because they don't have the veterinary care. Like, by the way, down in Panama, they don't love their animals like we do. Okay, they don't understand what we do with animals. You know, we bring them in our houses. They don't understand that. Okay, dogs are just to eat dead things. You know, that's why we keep dogs around here. So when things die, they get eaten. Okay, so they just kind of have feral dogs everywhere. And I was telling people when I was in Panama, I was basically my life verse for the first trip in Panama was Philippians 3:2. Beware of dogs. I mean, there were dogs everywhere. Every time you walk down a driveway, go knock on a door to tell somebody about Jesus, a dog met you. Okay? Every time you're getting ready to open a gate, a dog met you. Dogs are everywhere. Beware of dogs. And I told people I didn't pet any dogs. I didn't want any chances that that wouldn't even happen. Is that what this verse means? No. Again, this is about people, okay, that live in such a way, though they profess and say they are Christians, they live terrible lives. Beware of dogs. Go to the verses then that he read for us, that Aaron read for us. Again, you can see in verse 17, Paul is saying, if you need to follow somebody, you make sure you follow somebody that walks as a Christian. And Paul is even saying, mark them who walk basically as you have us as an example. Now, Paul also conditioned that elsewhere in the Bible by saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay, so don't follow Paul when he's not doing right, but follow him as he's following Christ, and that's okay. And he says, now if you have people there in your town, in your church, who walk like I taught you, you follow them, okay? You follow those that have a good example, okay? Because in verse 18, and this is in parentheses in my Bible, do you have parentheses there? The reason why I'm telling you is to find a good example and follow that person, because there are many. And I told you when I was there, I've told you often, when I was there in front of you, I mentioned it a lot, okay? And I even tell you, I'm weeping as I'm writing this. Maybe he was saying, can you see the tear stains on the page? These people are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Notice, their end is destruction. Whose God? It's their belly. That literally means whatever they dream up. Whatever they just have an animal passion to do, they do it. No, whose glory is in their shame, they mind earthly things. Again, these are people that I believe profess to be Christians. They teach good. They say things, but he's saying there, I've told you many times, they're the enemies of the cross. Why? Why are they enemies of the cross? Folks, Jesus came down here to destroy certain things. When he died on the cross, he was there to destroy things. What did he come to destroy? Well, the devil. Okay. What's another thing he came to destroy? Sin and death. And he came down here to destroy sin. Why? Now this is how I do this. The cross is where he did the work to destroy sin. When you are going after sin and living in sin and following sin, you're now following sin, and the enemy of sin is the cross. So if you're following sin, you're enemies of the cross. Maybe enemies, a tough word or whatever, but you've definitely put the teaching of the cross on the opposite side of where you are. Jesus died on the cross to free us from the body of sin, to set us free. Again, I'm not going through it right now, but read Romans 6 sometime today. We started the service with it. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And in Romans 6, he's telling people, now that you're Christians, you don't yield your members to sin. You now yield your members to righteousness. And the power of the cross is the power that we have to live for Jesus. And when you start living a sinful life, you become enemies of the cross. That's not what the cross is about. The cross is about victory in our lives and living separated from sin. That's what sanctification is all about. Now, are we all perfect? Anybody here perfect yet? Okay. No married person can say they're perfect if your husband or wife is sitting beside you, because you're going to get elbowed real quick. Okay? None of us are perfect. Okay? But again, I use this as it's also in 1 John chapter 3. It's just not sin. It's the practice, the habit, the behavior of what? Sin. Okay? It's just the behavior and practice of sin. So again, we have these people. And again, in verse 19, it even says whose glory is in their shame. Folks, the things that these people should be shamed about, that's what they glory in. Instead of just saying, I'm ashamed of myself for what I'm doing right now. I am ashamed. What do they say? I'm flaunting it. I'm flaunting it. Okay? I told people, and not so much today, but I told them the last time, when we go up and work at Penn State, I like when it's cold. Girls put clothes on. And I know that when Paul was talking to Timothy, he told ladies they should dress with shamefacedness. Shamefacedness, okay? I mean, there ought to be something you ought to be ashamed to wear. And like I said, I work back at the Friars. I'd rather watch French fries than what's going on behind me, okay? I really would. But you know what? You ought to be ashamed. You ought to be ashamed. You know, I'd like to tell some of the girls, can I have your parents' phone number? Because I want to take a picture of you and send it to your parents. Do they know how you're dressing right now? Hopefully the parents would be ashamed. Somebody's got to be ashamed. But these people live in such a way that they flaunt what ought to be a shame. Shame on you. Shame on me. No. I'm proud of this. Okay? And they flaunt their sin in front of people is what he's saying there. Again, notice in verse 19, the end of it, they mind earthly things. Again, they're all about this world, satisfying the lust of the flesh. Okay? That's what they're in for. You know what? God set me free so I can enjoy all this sin now. And he'll forgive it and I'll still get to heaven. No problems. Now, again, I tell people, are there really Christians that live this way? Here I am studying this study. Ted Clater walks into the church and mentioned when he went to a seminary that he recommends to nobody that the teaching from the seminary was basically, do what you want. And he said some of the actions of his professors and of the students that he was in seminary with was absolutely putrefying how they lived their lives. But their idea was, oh, you people that believe the Bible, you're fundamentalists, you people that believe in rules and standards, that's not what it's all about. It's all about having fun and living it up, and this is what it's all about. And he was saying that he went to school and he even had professors that would say, you know, it's you can do what you want. And he said, I would never recommend anybody go to a place like that. And again, you can see that there are Christians that live this way. That's the way they live. Here's how I want to do this now. Because we're all sinners. And if you're not a sinner and if you're not sinning, you know, you're not being honest with me or you're not being honest with yourself before God. Okay. In fact, I said in chapel to the high school the other day, that's just, you know, we blame Adam and Eve and say, oh, if it wasn't for Adam and Eve, we wouldn't be in this terrible spot. Okay. So let's just set up an experiment, okay? At this point in time, as it's about, 11:35 on this Sunday, you have never, ever committed a sin in your life. You have made it to this point, and you have never, ever committed one sin. Okay? You're saying, Pastor, just imagine it. Come on. Put on your thinking caps. Okay? Imagine, to this point, 11:35, right now, you have never sinned. How long can you go until you commit your first sin? How many of you are going to make it through the service? Am I being real with you? With you. What kind of word is that? How long is it going to go? Till you make it through your first sin. And we say, well, if that Adam and Eve, if they wouldn't have... Okay, so you're the test. How far are we going on you? We're not going to make it through the day. And now, again, here we go. How many of you think you're going to make it through the day? I mean, this is really tough, is it not? We are all sinners. We are prone to sin. Here's why I want to say probably separates us from this crowd over here. Are you ready? When you sin, what's your attitude about it? What's your attitude about it? It could be one of this. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you sinned. You broke a literal commandment in the Bible. A literal sin that's mentioned in the Bible. And when somebody says, well, you did it. There's nothing wrong with that. Really? The other thing that I hear a lot of times is when somebody defends what they did. I mean, literally defends it. Defends sin. That scares me. You're over here, folks. Now, I'm not saying I don't sin. And I'm not saying that I couldn't commit any sin that anybody has ever committed. Are you with me? Just about the time you say, I never get caught up in that sin. It's just about the time that what? Yeah. Doesn't Galatians 6:1 tell us you better take care of yourself lest you also be tempted? Okay? So just about the time you say, oh, I can't do that, watch out. Okay? Watch out. And we may commit sins. But you know, when you come to me and say, Pastor, you know what you did? I can't believe you did it. Usually the attitude is what? You're right. It's wrong. I shouldn't have done it. I sinned. And confession literally is when you say the same thing as God about your sin. And God says, that was sin. And I say, that was sin. What's different is when God says, that's sin. And you say, no, it's not. I mean, this is what scares me. I have sat across from people and just asked them questions. I go, I tell people, you know, I know that people say, oh, Pastor, you're judging me. You're condemning me. No, I'm going to ask questions you answer. If you think I'm condemning you, whatever. I just want answers, okay? I have sat across from men, okay, that have left their wives and are living with another woman out of wedlock. They're still married to somebody. Or maybe I can say women, too. I've sat across from them. You know, they've left their wives. They say they're Christians. They used to be a deacon in the church. And they've left their wives and they're living with somebody else. And I go, you know, just explain it to me. How does it work? How is it that you go from being a Christian, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon in the church, and you leave your family and you go live with somebody else outside of marriage, and it's definitely outside of marriage because you're still married to somebody else. Just run me through the thinking. And folks, sometimes when I ask them that question, you know what they do? They tell me how they've done nothing wrong, it's all okay, and it's fine. And I'm just like, wow. That's like horrible, okay? I'm saying this, I'm going to try to say it as gentle as I can. I can see why the Bible calls people like that dogs. Can't you? I got the morals of a dog. And yet, there's nothing wrong with it. It's okay. And yet, I even tell people, go to the unsaved people, give them the scenario that I just gave you, and what will unsaved people say? Oh, that's wrong. Christians shouldn't do that. Nobody should do that. And yet, Christian people who say they're Christians, and that's what really scares me about this thick wall. If you're over here, are you saved? If you're defending sin, okay, now argue with me later if you want. I'll even pay for the meal when we argue, okay? But it scares me. Are you really saved when you defend sin? When the Bible just clearly says it's what? It's sin. It scares me. And you say, well, Pastor, why do you say that? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know these verses. I've read them to you before. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of the Messiah of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. What are the next couple words there? Shall inherit the what? Kingdom of God. I know I could take you over to Revelation 21 also, which when it talks about being in heaven, and it says these kind of people are not in heaven. They're not there. Now, I know I'm splitting hairs, but please listen to it, okay? If you can do this. And I know it's splitting hairs and it's tough, okay? But if today I happen to steal something, okay? I did it. I'm wrong. And I know some people would say, well, the reason why you stole is because you're a thief. But I'm going to argue with you. I'm not a thief. But I did steal. And when you catch me stealing, what am I going to say? It's wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Now, I'm splitting hairs because I know somebody's out there saying, well, Pastor, you are a thief if you steal. Are you a thief because you steal, or you steal because you're a thief? I understand it. But I would say, you know what, that's not who I am. And you've heard people say that. And I'm sorry. And I'll make it right, okay? But, well, and then put it this way. True repentance. What do I do from that point forward? I stay away from it. I don't steal. Best I can, the Lord help me. I'm not going to do it, okay? But there's somebody who steals. They get caught. You talk to them. What do? They justify it. I mean, the reason why I stole is because, look, the people who run Walmart, they make millions. They're not going to miss it. It's not going to affect their bottom line. I needed it, so I took it. Now, come on, you can't blame me for that, can you? I mean, did you see the bottom line that came out from Walmart? They make how many millions of dollars a year, or a quarter, or a month, a day? Am I right about that? I told somebody, stand outside of Walmart. If Walmart makes $1 on everybody that walks in the door and walks back out, how much money did they make from the Venter Pike Walmart that day? Just $1 off of everybody who walks in there. Okay? Man, they're really making a lot of money. Of course I stole. Come on, I needed it, and they got everything they need. Now you're scaring me. Because in the future, the next time you go into Walmart, what are you going to do? You're a thief, and you're justifying it. If I stole, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. It was absolutely... Am I making the difference here between these people over here and us? Because they might say, they might look over the wall and say, well, you do too. Right? What's your answer to that? I did. And I shouldn't have. It was wrong. And I need to repent. Okay? That's really what it is. Okay? Again, go with me to please. Let's grab some more verses. I need to grab some more verses. I'm going to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 2. I think I've about got my point over for these. I do want to read this passage of verses. And then we're done, so don't get all nervous here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Listen to this passage. It's a lengthy passage. I'll read it. You follow along. But in 2 Peter 2, 14, listen to the passage and think about that group down there. The group that I'm here, this is Peter talking about this group. Notice this group down here, they're having eyes full of adultery. And that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. That's the group down there, verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which sounds like maybe they made a profession and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe they did. But notice, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now watch this. I mean, just so I can give this to you, what this passage is talking about. Okay? Most of us, all of us, lived here at one time. Before salvation. We sinned. We did it. We had fun in it. And we didn't care. Then one day the convicting power of the Holy Spirit came upon us. Maybe we started to learn God's law and realized that we came far short of the glory of God, right? And we knew that we needed a Savior to save us from our sin. We turned to Jesus Christ and He saved us. Some of you have testimonies that could talk about what you did when you were down here. And frankly, I don't care. Because the grace of God is what? Really big. And Jesus forgave everything you did when you were living here. Am I right about that? The grace of God, I'm not going to make the grace of God small. It's huge. But you realize by grace you were saved, and God basically cleaned you up, saved you, forgave your sins, past, present, future. He did all that. And again, you start walking for Him. And again, sometimes our testimony is that song that I've sung sometimes. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been what? Born again. But you know what? All of a sudden you find somebody says, well, I got saved. You know, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. You hear their profession. You hear their words. But you turn around and a little while later, they're what? Right back here. I tell people, when I was younger, was it college? Was it college or thereafter? Larry Flint, who was the publisher and editor of Hustler magazine, said he received Jesus Christ as a Savior. Did anybody see a change? In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the magazine, I don't know this stuff, but is it still not published today with his name on it? Okay? It's the dog returns to its what? Vomit. Now, I got a question for you. Why does a dog eat its vomit? You anybody have dogs and see it happen? Why does a dog return to its vomit? I have an easy answer for it. It's a dog. It's what they do. Am I right about that? Boy, Pastor, you say you make things so easy. I do. It's a dog. It's what they do. Now, I don't care how civilized you think your dog is, okay? If it throws up and you're not there, it's going to eat it, okay? Because it's a dog. Now, watch this. When you're looking at people, well, how come they just continue to live in that filth and mire and muck? Okay, folks? Because that's the way they were before they made a profession of being a Christian. And this is where judging and people say, well, Pastor, you can't judge, but I do. You do too. But why did they return to it? Because they really aren't a Christian. They're still a dog. And they went back to their vomit. Now, watch this. Because I'm going to say, you're going to say, well, Pastor, are you saying that because I used to do this and I relapsed and went back in it for a little bit? No. Because when you went back into it and you said, oh, a minute, it's wrong. Jesus, you saved me from it. Help me. And you try to do what? These people go back to it and say what? Vomit tastes good. And they're staying here. Is everybody following me through? Okay? They don't like it. They don't want to be over here. They like it here. You know? Again, I can go to John chapter 13. I don't have time to study all these verses. But you remember when Peter didn't want Jesus to wash his feet? And Jesus said, you have no part of me if I don't wash your feet, yeah, your whole body. But after that happens, you may have to have your feet washed again. Are you with me? And though we lived here and Jesus washed us and cleaned us up and again forgave us all our sins, from time to time, we don't do a belly flop into the mud and start wallowing in it like a pig, but from time to time we do what? We stepped in it. And Jesus says, you know what, you need to come back. And again, the Christian bathtub is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins, cleanse. But you got to tell Him it's sin. And then we get our feet cleaned. And then we're walking and things are going good. And then all of a sudden what happens? Boop. Okay? All right? And then what do we say? Got to get out of that. Okay? But these people, what are they, what did I say? What was the terms I said? Belly flop back into the mud? And they like it. You see that? They're enemies of the cross of Christ. If you're truly saved, again, and that, there's my judging, and boy, even when I say it, it hurts me to say it, but if they're truly saved, I'm hoping you can come out of these things. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become what? New. So when you see people, Christians, okay, that are living over here, professing Christians that are over here, don't get sucked up into their talking. Oh, it's okay, because we read words. They use words with great swelling vanity. I'm going to tell you something. There are preachers that live here and draw crowds from here, and when they preach, it's exciting and good. They are good. They are great. I want to use a different word. They are great orators. Did everybody get what I said? I didn't say they were great preachers. Because if you're a great preacher, you ought to be preaching the cross of Christ and the gospel. They are great orators. And if you watch them on TV, if you watch them on YouTube, if you watch them, it sounds good. Folks, Jesus died to make us free. You can do whatever you want. He'll forgive it. I'm getting tired of people having rules and standards, and you can't do this and you can't do that. Come over here and do what you want. Come to our church. We'll never preach about sin and make you feel bad. You'll never feel like your shoes need shine when you leave our church. Is everybody with me on this? You will never be told you're a sinner. We don't judge anybody. Don't you want that kind of Christian life? And people say what? Yeah, because I grew up in a church that had rules. And I don't want rules. And we come over here, and they're telling you what? Do what you want. Have a good time at it, okay? Know of a pastor, okay? Not a friend, know of a pastor. Every man in his church that turns 21, he takes them out drinking on their birthday. The pastor does. What's wrong with that? You see how they defend it? Well, the Bible doesn't say you can't drink. Now, we didn't break any laws because I waited until they were how old? 21. Oh, wouldn't break the law. But, you know. Oh, come on. Come on. You people, get rid of your rules. Lighten up. Have a little fun. Do you see what I'm following through here? They're out there. They're good orators. They can even build big churches. Is everybody following me through? They really can. Watch out, because when it comes to them, when it comes to Christian liberty, they just don't have any rules, or very few rules, or very slight rules. Is that right? I tell people, the only rules they have is when you mistreat them. Then they got rules. Then they got rules. Watch this. Now, I'm winding down. I got to wind down. I told you I was winding down. Okay? Folks, there are lists in the Bible of sins, and there's different sins in the Bible. You need to know what they are. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. Don't just rely on me to get you all the stuff you need in your life. You need to get in there. And you need to find out what things are, what I'm going to say, on the other side of the wall. Ten Commandments would be a good place to start, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a good place to start? You know what? There are certain things in the Ten Commandments. You know what? Oh, it may be fun to do it. I may think it's great. And boy, I've thought about murdering people from time to time. Have you? But, you know, it's not right. And you know that. You all laugh. Maybe I think more of it than I think. I don't know. But you understand what I'm saying, okay? There are things the Bible definitely says the answer is what? No, you can't do these things, okay? We're not going to do them, all right? And that's on the other side of the wall here. I'm not talking about other things that we would call Christian liberty and doubtful things. We'll get into that as the weeks go. But over there. But again, watch out for that. I end with the verse I started with, Philippians 3:2. Beware of dogs. The crowd that thinks everything's legal. Jesus paid it all. And you know what? I just sin and he just keeps forgiving me and that's making him look good. And I'm having a lot of fun in life. And we're all going to get to heaven anyway. Okay? And I tell people, watch out. Okay? Watch out. I know 1 John chapter 3. He that committeth sin is not of God. And if you put that in the proper tense, He that continually keeps on committing sin is not of God. That makes sense to you? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We've got one out of five groups done. I hope I said things right. I hope I generalized things right. I hope I compartmentalized things right. This is hard to do. But there is a crowd down there, and we got to stay away from them. Don't get sucked into sin. When you hear people say, well, what's wrong with that? You better think about what might be wrong with that. There might be something wrong with it. Probably there is something wrong with it. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean we don't... But what is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 5? There's a sin in the church that not even the Gentiles do. That one would have his father's wife. That one would have his father's wife. Okay? Even the Gentiles don't do that, but it's in the church. Watch out. Just because people say they're Christians doesn't mean they're living the way God wants them to. I think I got that crowd. Dogs, pigs, if you come up with a better term for it, please help me. Okay? But they're down there. We got to stay away from them. Be holy, because what? I'm holy. Father, I pray you would help us. Lord, I'm asking seriously, God, from my heart, the words that were chaff that I said today, blow them away. Lord, but the words that are true, that agree with the Word of God, even the words of God that we did read, that would be the seed that lands upon our heart and produces fruit and understanding. Lord, help us to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen.